Jones and Keith here on WEEI. We'll get to A.J. Brown. Not everyone expects a big bounce-back season out of him. I know Keith and myself do. Some numbers to illustrate how it was a down season and whether or not he'll bounce back from it here in a moment. But real quick, a flood of texts on this very topic.
What do we got about the man bras?
You know the text line would come through on a topic like the man bras.
Probably a few of them wearing them right now.
Now, Nick actually answered this in real time. I brushed it aside very quickly. I guess I didn't think that was the answer.
You think Drop God had this?
Drop God had it.
Yeah.
Drop God said they're like next-gen stats, basically.
Got it.
So these little man bras they're wearing, I guess that's how they track a player speed and all these advanced metrics. That's how they do it.
You wouldn't think they would just like chip these guys?
That's what I thought.
Put a little chip in their brain?
So, Nick, you're saying in the NFL they're wearing those same things?
Yeah, you see them running around with like training camp and stuff. That's how they track
their movements. We were at training camp. I guess I didn't even notice
it. The binocs weren't good enough.
They're wearing man bras out there in training camp?
I guess.
Hard to notice all the way up where we were. Good point.
Yeah.
But I didn't notice it.
Red lace bra with prosthetic silicone breast assist.
So this is a black man bra,
okay,
but otherwise same thing that he was describing there. But so
the
I guess
the bra
that,
is black, not the man.
Yeah.
Just to be clear,
he said
black man bra.
I'm sorry, the man bra is black. No, good point.
Just to be clear.
You ought to clarify that for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
So that's what those are. Okay, those are next gen stats.
We're
tracking everything. I didn't realize that's
how we know who's the fastest.
Okay, well, I thought it was a fashion statement that was coming here because they're always ahead of us in Europe. They're always bringing their fashion over here, and people want to adopt. And now I'm like, do I have to wear this?
Bathing suits? They wear very little.
That's true,
right?
That is true. Yeah. Okay, well, that's cleared up. I'm happy about that. 617-779-7937. I was reading from Benjamin Solak, Keith.
Okay.
Now, I don't want to get us in any trouble with the Mutt Stack or anyone else.
Bro.
You said Solak.
Solak.
Got it.
Sup, so?
Yeah.
Lack. Here's what he had to say.
Mm-hmm.
He said, some of A.J. Brown's next-gen stats. Well, yeah, now I know how they track him.
Jeez.
Right there in his man bra.
Every day we're learning something.
Some of A.J. Brown's next-gen tracking stats is concerning from a year ago in Philadelphia. He says, Brown only hit 18-plus miles an hour on 14 routes last season, a career low.
Okay.
His max speed, 19.6, also a career low.
Hmm.
And this is the second consecutive year in which he set a new low. Only 27% of his yards came after the catch, his worst mark in 4 years with the Eagles. So he is not running as fast. His max speed is not as fast. He's getting fewer yards after the catch than he had any year in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Solak continues, of course, the easy explanation is that A.J. Brown was evidently disengaged from the Eagles' offense last year, and for whatever frustrations he harbored with quarterback Jalen Hurts or offensive coordinator Kevin Petullo, Brown was often caught dogging routes and even had a couple of brutal drops across the regular season and playoffs. The game against the Niners was very prominent in that. He says Brown plays a style that will translate well enough as his body ages. This is his opinion. Surely he was at his best as a dominant blend of size and speed, but the size still works as the speed declines. Brown averaged 2.2 yards of separation last year, according to Next Gen Stats, but he's averaged only 2.4 yards of separation across his career. So that's basically in line with what he had done throughout. Meanwhile, he had a good catch rate over expectation of 6.8% in 2025, his third consecutive season of dominating that stat. Even if Brown's de-evolution into a contested catch artist is inevitable, something that Solak does not believe in the slightest, he says, he'll probably still be pretty good at it. So I hear a couple of things in there, and I'm like,
mm-hmm.
I do not want him to be
just contested,
quote-unquote contested catch artist.
Right.
And I also don't love that the explanation for him not running as fast last year is he was just dogging it and checked out. I don't love that.
Although, what do you think Randy Moss's max speed was with the Raiders his last year? I think there is something to these guys, and you could be like, well, the Eagles are a lot better than the Raiders. True, but if you're kind of checked out, you're checked out. And you don't have to agree with the reasons for it, but I think he was getting mad at Jalen Hurts either not throwing it to him or when he did throw it to him, it hit him in the shoes and just like wasn't the most accurate guy, or the new offensive coordinator constantly running tush pushes and bringing in Saquon Barkley.
You said this before. Like, how are you supposed to hit your max speed when every other play is a stupid tush push? Like, that's a good point.
I think he's kind of, you know, he's pissed about it. Now, is he going to be as good as he was, say, 4 years ago? Well, maybe not. Most guys approaching their 30s aren't as good as they were 4 years ago, but he was also one of the two or three best receivers in the league that year. He had like 1,400 yards, whatever it was, all the touchdowns. So I think there is sort of that middle ground between his first 2 years and his last 2 years in Philadelphia. And I think that could be realistic. I think he's going to be super motivated to prove to Philly and to Hurts and to Sirianni and everybody else that he still has something left in the tank. And even with all of this, I always go back to both the player on the field and the personality off the field. If Mike Vrabel is the one that really, really wanted this guy, I think that's a great sign. That's like a best sign for him. This isn't someone swooping in from the outside that has no relationship with him and is like, oh, he can be the guy he was his first year in Philly. I know that he can. Like, well, how? Just trust me. Like, no. Mike Vrabel's well aware of the whole package that comes with A.J. Brown.
I agree with you on this, so I'm not arguing, but let me play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Could it also be that everybody else is using their eyeballs and is saying he's lost a step and Mike Vrabel is using his heart over his eyeballs and still believing in A.J. Brown? Like, is it possible the only one who still believes in A.J. Brown is Vrabel because he views A.J. Brown from 4 years ago and not what he's been the last 2 years in Philly?
My thought is teams out there, maybe some think he lost a step, but I don't think they all think he lost a step, rather than why would it be different with us? If he's unhappy in Philadelphia, what can we do? Is our quarterback better than Hurts? Is our coach better than Sirianni? Is our team better than Philly? So they're like, if this guy's going to be mad winning a Super Bowl, like, how are we going to convince him that he's going to be a great fit here?
It's a good point.
And so the only other team that you heard that was somewhat interested was the Rams, and I think they would have brought him in, and then they decided not to, and they claim it was the knee. You and I both, in the real time, were like, maybe they're not sure if Puka Nacua is going to be available long-term, and so they ended up wanting to do it that way, and then they ended up pivoting away from it. But no, I think A.J. Brown is one of those guys. Just like if Vrabel wasn't here, right, if this was another all reality and it was some other coach, I might be a little hesitant too, being like, well, why is it going to work here? Why is he going to be happy here if he wasn't happy in Philadelphia?
So, yeah, some of those numbers are alarming, you know, like if he's losing his top-end gear, although the yards of separation number is very encouraging. I feel like Reese a few weeks ago had similar stats too, where it's like he's still creating separation. And if he is doing that as a receiver, that makes me less fearful. It's just jump balls and 50-50 balls, and that's how he's going to have to catch everything, because I don't love that. And another part of me also says, well, he's younger than Steph Diggs, and Diggs still had plenty left in the tank to get open last year, maybe not in the playoffs, but throughout the year he had plenty left in the tank, and that was coming off a torn ACL. This is a guy who we're all worried about his knees, but he's been fine in that regard and playing on the field. So, look, I expect the bounce back. But I will present some of those other numbers, and the trend line for A.J. Brown is not heading in the right direction. One thing I disagree with, by the way, did you catch any of this from Reese over the weekend? He, in his Sunday notes, had the idea of the Patriots keeping 7 receivers.
Seems like way too many.
A.J. Brown.
7!
Romeo Doubs.
Okay.
Kayshon Booty. Mac Hollins. Kyle Williams. Pop Douglas. Efton Chisholm, in that order.
Now, this is on the active roster?
I think so.
I mean, Efton Chisholm could be like a practice squad guy. I don't think everybody's going to pick him up. I don't know. They probably need to choose between, like, is Kayshon Booty on the team or off the team? I think he's clearly one of their 4 best, so he should be. If that's going to play itself out, then great. I know you don't want to give up on Kyle Williams yet, but between Kyle Williams and Pop Douglas and Efton Chisholm, maybe one of those guys or none of those guys, depending on the health of it.
I wouldn't probably have Chisholm on this team. Last year we were a little excited in training camp. Didn't really
7
do much.
Seems like way too many, but I mean, how many? You only have 2 quarterbacks, and then you can probably find spots to.
I just probably wouldn't have Chisholm on the team, so I think you're right. If Booty's on the team, they'll keep 6, which maybe is too many. I don't know if this team needs Pop Douglas, because I agree they're not going to move on from Kyle Williams.
Yeah.
I don't know if this team needs Pop Douglas, but whatever. If he's on the team, I'm not going to stamp my feet. But Chisholm's out, and then maybe Booty's on the team. If he's not, you're down to 5. Like that feels like the better number in that receiver room, especially with guys like A.J. Brown, Romeo Doubs, Booty, those guys aren't coming off the field, I don't think.
No.
The hell do you need 7 receivers for?
No, you don't. And also, I don't think you're going to run a lot of 4 wide receiver sets just because you have Hunter Henry and then you have the 2 running backs. Like, you might even see more with both running backs on the field in Henderson and Stevenson. So you have that flexibility, I guess. But because also you look at how many of those guys are really big core special team guys, like, I don't know, not as many. I mean, you have a couple of return guys, maybe?
Yeah, Hollins.
I don't think he's doing much.
No, I'm saying, doesn't he factor in on special teams?
Oh, I don't even know if he does. Like, I just don't. You don't have.
I don't think any of those other guys are outside, as you said, Chisholm returning punts or kicks, which he's lousy at.
Which you don't even want him doing that. So yeah, I don't know. It's tougher to keep all those guys on the roster.
Okay, so I thought that was odd, and who knows? Maybe that's just the team. The team is saying it, so maybe they're trying to drum up some interest in players on the roster or whatever. But seven feels like way too many.
But what's intriguing,
especially when one of them's Efton Chisholm.
But I think. What's intriguing about that, more so than the Chisholm part, is Kayshon Booty. And not just being like, well, eventually he'll get traded. Or just sort of like a throwaway line that like, well, he'll probably be gone. Like,
so maybe that's what they're
got up. Him on there.
Maybe that's what they're up to. We will keep seven. We're not just going to give him away. We're not just going to cut him.
Yeah.
We will keep seven. Maybe that's some of what's going on.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here on the Pats. We'll get back to all the latest with Giannis and Jaylen Brown in the noontime hour here on Jones and Keefe. That's a trade that might happen.
Mm.
A trade that did happen in the NHL. Someone a lot of Bruins fans wanted.
Man.
Brady Tkachuk now playing with his brother in Florida. What does it mean for the Bees? We'll get to it next.
Show Friday at the Parrot in Hull on Nantasket Beach. Some hearty souls still outside in the rain. Curtis, it's going to get sunny later, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
You guys, thanks for coming out last night. Thanks for being here this morning. You're awesome. And we should make this an every year stop, I think.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome down here. We got some guest leads going on. Step right up. If you would, sir, good morning and hello.
Good morning. I'm Bob from Plymouth.
Hi, Bob.
And I was at Bernie's Beach Bar last weekend.
Awesome. Good for you.
Where is Coco?
She will be back. We don't know where she's probably...
On the island of Nantucket, actually.
Yeah, she's probably influencing somebody somewhere, I would
Thousands.
Say. She will be back end of July, I believe.
Great. I really don't have a question except for Wiggy. I wish you stayed with baseball, although you were a good tight end.
Yeah, yeah.
Real good tight end.
You know, I wish I would have said all city
kind
catcher.
Of a back, kind of a backwards compliment there,
all right.
Bob.
Oh,
well, right. I'm sorry. He's a catcher and a big guy. He can block it everything.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. And I was a right-handed hitter, so that I could be, you know, hitting some dingers in the Red Sox lineup.
All right, peppering the wall.
Yeah, Fenway Park, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That's all right. All right. Great show.
Thank you for being here.
All right.
Thanks, we appreciate it.
Great lead, Rob.
All right.
I love that one.
Step right up. Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We have seen you at many road shows.
This is Dalen.
Of course.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. What's your guest lead?
So my question for you is, do you think that Jaylen Brown could be traded midseason, especially with his attitude in the locker room and him just getting cocky in general?
Mm. Ooh. I don't think – I personally wouldn't do that because let's say you're playing well – and, you know, Jaylen's going to have his issues, but if he's still performing on the court, now you're breaking up the team. That's why I want Brad either trade him now or just say we're building around him for the next 2 years or till next year, and then maybe some other player wants out that's, you know, at the level Jaylen's at. But just don't trade him for pennies on the dollar if that's what you're going to do.
But aren't you somewhat surprised, because I know how you feel about him.
Mm-hmm.
You thought he was the should have been the MVP last season.
Yeah,
are you?
But not top five.
Are you? Some,
yeah, I mean we've proven that before. Joel Embiid won an MVP and he wasn't top five when he won it.
Right.
But are you somewhat surprised that it is taking the Celtics this long to move somebody who was in the running when it comes to being the MVP last season
in his prime?
I am not because. You're not just going to move somebody who's that valuable, you know, just for a bag of balls and some high-top sneakers.
Okay,
you're going to have to move him. And Giannis's of the world are not moving. So, when you start to think of Jaylen Brown, the Joker's not going anywhere.
Nope.
SGA's not going anywhere.
Nope.
Luka Doncic is not going anywhere. The guys that might be ahead of Jaylen Brown – those guys are not going anywhere.
That makes the point that you should be that much more in demand.
Right, but I'm saying the teams that you would be talking to don't have anything of value that you want. Why would I give away my Rolls Royce for your Toyota Camry?
I love a good Toyota.
I don't give a damn how many 300,000 miles you could put on it.
I put 250 on mine.
I don't care if you put 250.
But this is not your Rolls Royce. This is your second vehicle.
Right.
This is your
weekend car.
You know what? Your first vehicle Bugatti, who's Jason Tatum, and your second vehicle's a Rolls Royce. So you're not.
But I don't know that the other league, the rest of the league views him that way.
They do. I think they view him as a. You don't think the rest of the league views him as a top 10 player right now?
I don't know.
To build around, no.
I don't know that they do. I think maybe they do, but they also, I think, are considering the other stuff that comes along with him, and they're questioning him. When you have a guy who does what he did this past regular season, and then the team chokes in the playoffs,
right?
And that guy is proudly telling you that that's his favorite season of all that he's played,
right?
I think they might look at it and go, like, if something's up in the guy's head if he's saying that.
Right.
Yeah, but they don't care about that in the NBA. Look at Giannis.
Hey,
Giannis, look at Giannis as a failure, and people are like, give me Giannis.
Before Dalen's done, do you see her shirt?
You beat the geek.
Yes, she did.
Yes, you did beat the geek.
Take that time.
All right.
Awesome job, Dalen.
Great lead. Thank you very much. Awesome.
Round two. Shime, you know where to find me.
All right. I got you. Yeah. Cue it up when the football season gets underway.
All right. Step right up. What's going on?
Hi, Stephen Whitman here. How you guys doing?
Hi, Steve.
Football question, because it's the best season of all.
Yeah.
Wiggy, thank you for your last catch in the Snow Bowl.
Thank you.
Good job.
Do you think that Stephon Diggs will come back? What will it take to get him back? And what do you think the Patriots need to do to get over the Super Bowl losing team curse? Because, as you know, only two teams in NFL history have won the Super Bowl the year after they lost it. Every other team other than the Bills going back to back to back to back have either had a crappy year or they make it back to the Super Bowl. What do you think they need to do to go back or have a successful season? And what's your over-under on this coming Patriots season?
Well, I think that they're probably not going to go after Diggs. I think that depending on what the money situation is, I think they're satisfied with their wide receiver room after getting A.J. Brown, so I don't think there's really them going after Diggs, and I think Diggs might be looking for a little bit more of a better opportunity and more money, knowing that if he comes here, he might be the third guy behind A.J. Brown and then Romeo Doubs. For me, the biggest thing for this team is going to be, obviously, Will Campbell off of his injury. Does he play at the level he played at before the injury? And is he a solid left tackle? Because if you can keep Drake May upright, your team, now with A.J. Brown, has the ability to score against the Seattle Seahawks or whoever they're playing to potentially win the Super Bowl.
I think that's kind of the key word, Wiggy, is injuries. Overall, like for this team, if you stay healthy, just like you did last year, for the most part, you were healthy for 90% of the season. You started to struggle when you weren't healthy. Will Campbell wasn't healthy. Drake May might not have been healthy, especially in the Super Bowl. Like, if you're healthy throughout the season, I think you're going
to
be in
fine. You're not allowed to talk about football after what happened earlier with Bill O'Brien. Sorry about that.
That was a great play. It's going to look great. It's going to get installed. It's going to score a touchdown.
It was one of the dumber things I've ever heard. But I would say that, honestly, the Patriots' success last year had less to do with their health and the unhealth of the players of the teams they were facing. Like, if you look at the quarterbacks they faced, if you look at that stuff, I mean, I think that if they
Well, now you sound like Cam Newton.
Well, Cam Newton was proven prescient in the Super Bowl. That was
fool's
gold.
They made the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was. And your left tackle was clearly a health injury, and that's why he was getting beat up in the postseason.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead. I don't know. Griff, you got the mic on? Go ahead. What's your last thing?
Wouldn't having Diggs actually open up the offense even more, be more of a threat, even if it's like a decoy? Wouldn't that help out? Like,
yeah, they're not going to pay him.
He's not going to want that. He's more of a role.
I think with A.J. Brown and Romeo Doubs, your offense is going to be good. Your passing offense is going to be fine.
And Mac Hollins.
And Pop Douglas, or whoever's playing that slot, your running backs, your offense is going to be fine. It's going to come down to, as long as everybody's healthy, can you then put up the points that you need to do? Which I believe Drake May's only going to get better now that he's in second year or third year or second year in Josh McDaniels' offense.
All right, great job on guest leads. Let's hear it for him. We will be joined in about 20 minutes by Craig Breslow. Real quick, this is Chris from New Hampshire. Hey, Chris, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to thank you. on the chart of off-court stuff, Jaylen Brown is very minor. I mean, Kevin Durant's got burner counts. There's no way GMs are worried about him. They know that the Celtics have to trade him, and they are going to play the chess game with Brad. Brad's got to hold out and make sure he gets what he's worth. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. I mean, I is there any, like, is there going, if they're not able to get what Brad Stevens wants,
right,
is Jaylen Brown going to be A-OK with coming back and playing for this team next season?
I think he's still going to be frustrated.
He's been frustrated since he was drafted.
Right. So I think, yes, to answer your question.
He's just going to be more frustrated.
Yeah, he'll still go out there and play at the level that we've seen him play over the years. Then it's going to be, that's why I don't think Brad, and I advocated go get Giannis, but I'm in a position now where don't trade Jaylen, just build around them to trade Derek White, trade Sam Hauser, to get you some other pieces to go along with Jason and Jaylen. That's where I think you're at now, because whatever you trade him for, your team is going to be better when you trade Jaylen Brown?
No, just like the Red Sox weren't better when they traded Devers, but they made the playoffs.
But
baseball's a different sport, though. And baseball,
I know that.
And basketball, trading away your superstar.
Then why are they trying to trade him, Wiggs? Brad Stevens is not dumb. We agree, right?
The reason why I think they've been trying to trade him is they feel like Jaylen is a
pain in the butt.
Is a talented player, but they're always looking. You know, coaches used to say this: you're always looking for the new shiny red bike.
So you think if Jaylen Brown was Derek White off the floor, they're still trying to trade him?
Yes.
No way, Wiggy.
Yes. They try to trade him for Kevin Durant.
I know. Kevin Durant's a great player.
That's my point. They try to trade him for Kawhi Leonard.
So then why is Brian Windhorst saying they're trying to trade him no matter what?
No,
why?
No, but they started with – I think.
Okay, let's stay where we are now.
You keep asking the same question. But I'm trying to –
So you don't think it has anything to do with who he is off the floor?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. We disagree.
But do you think it has anything to do with the result of the first round of the playoffs?
Greg, I think this. I think
–
I don't think it has to do with the result. I think they look and they go, if we can find a better player, we will trade Jaylen Brown. And they've been doing that.
I think it's more than that. I think Brad sat up there and told you that they were really disappointed with that – choking that playoff series away.
Yep.
And that they're not going to just sit back and run it back when with the two guys – that are responsible.
So, Greg, let me ask you this question.
But you can't entirely blame Jaylen Brown
for that. No, you can't.
Though, right?
You can blame Jason Tatum for not
bagging playing out on Game 7.
But, Greg, let me ask you.
But you could, doesn't matter who you blame. Mm-hmm. They are looking at it and going, we got to do something different. We're not just going to do
that. I agree with.
Square peg, round hole.
We're not just going to do the same thing.
Let me ask you a simple question. If they trade Jaylen Brown now, you're not getting Giannis. If they trade him now, are they a better team next year or a worse team?
Can I ask a question about the same sport? When the Celtics got rid of Kyrie, were they a better team on paper?
No.
Did they beat the Nets in the playoffs?
Yes.
Right.
Because of all the other stuff that came along.
Right.
And who does Jaylen Brown look up to?
Because you had two young superstars. But answer this question.
Oh, that was awesome. I just thought of that.
Will they be a better team? If Brad Stevens says, we're about not running it back and being a better team, how does it make any sense that you're going to be better when you trade away a top 10 player and get less back?
Because he was the coach of a team that did just that and was better.
Yeah, but they had, again, like Wiggy said, they had two young superstars in the wings. You don't have that.
Right.
If you trade Jaylen Brown, there's nobody stepping into
And I also think
spot.
That you're not going to get rid of Mazzulla, which is what I would have done first. And if you're not going to get rid of Mazzulla, then you need to get rid of enabling Mazzulla Ball, which is changing the offense for him.
You want to go get Trey Murphy, who shoots more three.
I don't want Trey Murphy. I don't even know who he is.
And why are you trading the one guy who isn't Mazzulla Ball?
Right.
Jaylen Brown is not Mazzulla Ball at all.
Because you need him. So they're not trading Tatum, right?
No.
Okay, so the only thing you can get assets for other than him that could bring in someone of the ilk of Giannis is Jaylen Brown. So you use him.
But you're not getting anybody of the ilk of Giannis anymore.
Right.
That's the point.
We got to take a break. You could talk about Jaylen Brown and the Celtics all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. We are in Hall at the Parrot. Friday, and we'll be right back.
Oh, well, that was fun. Thank you, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, for joining us. It's Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, and Christian Arcan in studio with us for the
What's up?
How we doing, OE?
What's happening?
That was really good stuff there from Florio.
He's not afraid to say things.
Yeah.
That's one thing I will say about him. We had him on like a time before, and there was a comment he made that was like so incendiary that I would...
He didn't go back there. I thought he might.
Well, so the first time I actually kept asking him questions until he got to a point where it's like, well, here's what could happen. Here's that could be a worst case scenario.
This would
like,
be really
son of a bitch.
Yeah, you're right. That would be bad. That would be really bad.
That was one of those things where I was just like, I feel irresponsible paraphrasing you, so I'm going to have to write down word for word what you said. So when I report, of course, I don't have it right now. But yeah, that article was very weird. I just found it weird. It's like the New York Times is tattling on the New York Times. So how much do you trust that the New York Times is going to call out the New York Times and how bad the New York Times was?
And the thing about the executives not responding for comment was pretty funny. Yeah. Like, hey, we're writing this article about ourselves. Like, yeah, no comment.
Yeah, no comment from me.
We're good.
Even though I'm writing it. Yeah, so that's an interesting thing. And he's right. By the next week. This was a teaser for the big drop that's going to happen. And I don't even know how big it's going to be. Because
I think it'll be a hit piece on her. Because they had two little hit pieces here. They had the traffic incident, right? And they had her, like, didn't go on the record, off the record. So they'll talk to everybody in her community in New Jersey about how bad she is as a person. Like, and, you know, and when she goes to the grocery store, just we were bad. But Diana was really bad. She was an awful person.
I agree with Florio, though. I think that she is going to have a very good career when this is all done and over with. And I think... she's probably going to enjoy life a little bit more. I guarantee you, like a gambling site or something's going to pick her up to do something kind of like the Kay Adams show or whatever, or like, you know, one of those like where she interviews athletes and talks with them, or even like another radio show. I know she's friends with Stu Gatz, and Stu Gatz likes her a lot, and maybe they could do a show together.
Didn't he just get kicked off that show though? Didn't Stu Gatz just get kicked off Dan Lebatard?
Stu Gatz has got his own thing though. No. Like he's not with Lebatard anymore, right? Like Stu Gatz has his own thing.
It just happened. Correct. I thought he just left.
Well, they took his name off the show. Maybe you're right. I actually haven't been paying a ton of attention there, but I do know that she's kind of entertaining.
She is. But can she keep I think of her kids. You know, like, is she going to keep doing that and be, like, saucy and all this when everyone knows, like, sort of what she's done? Like, is she going to keep herself out there in public with those two little boys, with the little sons, you know?
I think that it's something that was obviously, you know, at the time, shocking to everyone. Mm. But I do believe that there's enough people out there who have been on the other side of that situation or have been in that situation where you're going to realize, all right, you shouldn't have done that. It's awful. But... we're not going to hate you for the rest of your life. You see, I mean, you are a flawed human being. And I think that most people tend to forgive. We see it in sports all the time. There's guys out there who beat their kids and you're cheering for them to, you know, score touchdowns, which is insane. So if you do that, I guarantee you someone who had an affair, you're going to eventually probably just be like, all right, well, you know.
Not if it impacted my trade of my Eagles receiver. Right? I'll never forgive her for that. Cost us a second-round pick.
It is wild because she totally could have effed over a couple of teams.
Oh, totally.
Like that. Now, that part is very interesting to me and how bad that was. But I think she'll have a good career. And I wonder how she's going to come out and say anything. I think that there's a way out of it to where it sounds like, you know, you shouldn't have done it, but I'm teaching my children right now that you can make bad decisions and come out on the other end smarter and stronger. And that's one of those things that I've seen people put spins on. And matter of fact, that's almost word for word exactly what the Coldplay woman who was in she did an article with, I forget, it might have been the New York Times.
Why are people doing articles about her?
Because
was she like an inspiration or something? Like,
she was like the biggest story in America for like a week. Like
where's the story on the guy? Like, who cares? You know, like,
well, we know the guy.
Was she like a role model now? Like, we're supposed to like take lessons from this woman? Like, what's going on here?
No, but she hired it sounds like she hired a PR firm to do this like article that's basically to save her reputation. And the article was, yeah, you know, actually the first thing she said was that she was already separated from her husband, but they just hadn't told anybody, which I don't know if that's true or not, but she said that. But the other part
she didn't
was
tell
that,
him yet.
Yeah, I guess not. But the other part of it was, you know, I want to teach my kids that I'm growing and that you can make mistakes. And you know what? That's probably the absolute best thing you can say if you want to get people to go, okay. And who cares if it's
had anyone
sincere?
Thought of her in months? I mean, I think she wanted to be in an article. I think she wanted her name back in the
I guarantee
in the media. She wanted Rich Shurtleff talking about it.
She would have given everything in her life so that article didn't have to come out.
One thing that he said that I was thinking about that I was couldn't really shake was how she may be fixing to like sue the Athletic before this thing even comes out. She resigned. So how is she going to sue? It's not like they wrongfully terminated her.
It's because if they write an article that's slanderous, and they write, but which, by the way, the New York Times will not. Because,
there's no way they're going to do that.
But,
yeah.
But if she believes that there's something written in there that is untrue, that defames her, then she could try. I don't see that.
The Times have good lawyers. They're going to eat her for lunch. You kidding me?
Yeah, I agree with you.
But even more interesting from this region's perspective, is there anything in there that's damaging to Vrabel more so than her and her career to come? Because I think that's really all most fans care about, right? Is there something else that has him on edge this year and distracts him from the team?
And this is interesting, because here's the only thing that I think he could get in trouble for outside of anything weird that we don't know about, like as far as like sexual or anything like that. But the one thing that I think he could legitimately get in trouble for is if he and Diana Rossini willingly manipulated news in order to get better deals for trades. I know the AJ Brand, like if it comes out that the two of them had actual concrete discussions of news that she should leak out in order to have trades be more favorable towards either the Patriots or when he was with the Titans, that's a big deal. And then the other teams will get pissed at Mike Vrabel. But I don't know if that's
you'd have to get a team source either on the record or just not on the record, but a source from the Titans says blank.
Yeah.
And that I guess could happen, but my hunch is these teams have skeletons in their closet.
No question.
They won't want to touch them.
It would be very tough to prove, but that's the only thing I could think, because that's a big deal, the manipulation of trades. Like that's going to piss off a lot of teams. And also there's got to be some sort of rules that you have violated, which, you know,
I would call every member of the Jets organization for the last 10 years. Do you hate Mike Vrabel? Do you want to go on the record?
Right.
You hate the Patriots? Do you hate Robert Kraft?
Why not? Record, you know? All right. 617-779-7937. According to Brian Windhorst, Jalen Brown's as good as gone. He's going to get traded, I think are his words. And we have some other news that's come up. Apparently, Jalen Brown's brother's tweeting mysterious stuff. There's all sorts of weird guys named Robot Dave saying they've got inside sources on Jason Tatum doesn't like it. We will talk to all about all that here right after this.
They said it coming up in about 10 minutes, what Brad Stevens said last night about Jalen Brown and what Jazz Chisholm said about what he was doing in game while playing second base. And he has been criticized for that, and we'll hear all of that coming up during They Said It. This is Brandon from Boston. Good morning, Brandon.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Let me take you off speaker.
Of course. Thank
you.
Hey,
what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Thank you for taking my phone call. So when it comes to the Celtics, I did some research on them. And they're 27th in assists, they're 30th in push of pace, and they rank 30th in free throw. So, you know, they have to make a trade, and this trade would inquire, Jalen Brown getting traded to Jalen Brown getting traded to the Kings for Sabonis, Derek White going to the Pelicans for Trey Murphy, and then you have to figure out who's going to be your point guard to push the pace, because with those two players that you acquire, they're definitely strong at getting to the rim, and they change your style of game because they're not relying on three-point shots. So I want to know, your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm open to whatever Brad Stevens thinks is the right thing to do. I don't know. You know, Wiggy has said it this morning. He said it yesterday. Like, he was okay with Jalen Brown if you get Giannis.
Right.
Now you're looking at a bunch of options that are others that are not, in your mind, the same player. So, you want them to stick with the two Jays and then build around them.
Well, because I would ask you this question. Is your team better with Jason Tatum and Sabonis, or is your team better with Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown?
But, Wiggs, Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown, yes.
Yes.
You yourself have said over and over again since the conclusion of the season that Jalen is not going to go back to where he was. You have said that several times.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult.
So then that's why they're trying to trade him.
Yeah, but you can't trade him for pennies on the dollar. That's stupid.
But it's stupid to do something you know won't work.
No, it's stupid to trade a top 10 player in the league and get back a guy who's not even in the top 20.
So then what's the purpose of espousing what you believe to be the case that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum will not work as they used to?
And but my whole thing is this is where I think you blew it. You should have did everything in your effing power.
Okay, but we're past it.
So now we're past it. So now here's what I say. You can't trade Jaylen Brown now. You're going to have to just build around those two, and whatever the, I don't want to use the word friction or whatever the frustration that, you know, Jaylen might deal with, you're just going to have to live with it. I don't think Jaylen is going to take his foot off the gas and not go out there and play night in and night out.
Yeah. I think the issue becomes if he doesn't get the extension and Bill Chisholm is not, let's say Bill Chisholm is looking at the two max guys and going absolutely no way.
Right.
Then I think Jaylen Brown will be very frustrated. What's he going to do?
Yeah, what's he going to do?
I don't know. He's going to be streaming all the time.
Right. And so what?
I guess who cares?
And guess what? You just build you build a good enough team around him.
Yeah.
So we as fans, like the streaming don't bother me. It might bother other people. Jaylen saying what he says doesn't bother me. Build a good enough team around Jaylen and Jason that you can now win another championship. Mm. You have 2 years to do it before. Maybe I think it's player option his third year for him to decide to say, I'm opting out and going elsewhere.
I guess I would just ask this simple question. Jaylen Brown is bothered by everything.
Yeah.
We heard from Jaylen Brown's brother, which was lovely.
Yeah.
What is Tatum? Does he have Wi-Fi? Is he around?
He posted a cover of W Magazine that he is on, where he is lounge. He's showing Man Cleave. What's the track?
Manage. I can't remember what it was, but it was all the.
What's the current trend? Man Cleavage, is that what it is? Anyway, that's the only post that came from him yesterday on Instagram.
Yeah, so I saw him post some sneakers on the floor.
That's what he is focused on.
I'm telling you right now, dunk take at the first road show next year if Jaylen Brown is on the roster with the Celtics to begin next season.
You're in the dunk tank?
In the dunk tank? Okay. But be prepared to get in the dunk tank.
I love it.
Can we open the Window World of Boston weather window for Curtis, please? All right, Curtis, what do we got today? Looks much better than yesterday, thankfully.
It really does. It looks like a gorgeous day out there. Currently, let me just get my modeling up here. It is 64 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Going to be absolutely gorgeous, 81 degrees this afternoon. Perfect evening for a Scotland watch party in downtown Boston. I don't know if there is an officially sanctioned one, but go Scotland. And tomorrow it is going to be 81 as we arrive on Nantasket Beach. And Friday morning at the Perriton Hall, going to be 79 degrees. Looks like a beautiful end of the week.
No rain Friday? Because I had heard some rumblings about some rain.
There could be some showers early morning, but it's going to clear up by 7:35.
All right. So we can be out of doors at the Parrot.
It's going to be a dew point of 48.
No idea what Hall and the South Shore are bringing to this road show because we've never been there.
No.
So I hope that you will all join us Thursday night, tomorrow night, or Friday. So we would love to see you.
I'm going to have to stop somewhere for some bar pizza, though. I'll tell you that.
Can I add an addendum to... go ahead.
Well, what are you recommending?
Well, I mean, no, I'm just saying there's...
I know,
from here to Hull, there's a couple spots we could probably stop. I know there's one or two in Braintree.
It's your hometown. I would expect that there's a recommendation coming from you, your homeland.
Yeah, I mean... A lot of the bar pizzas that I love are not necessarily in the Hull area, but from here to Hull, there's a couple places we could stop along the way.
Well, we could stop in Brockton and go to Cape Cod if we wanted to. Cape Cod Pizza.
Yeah, it's not exactly to Hull, but yeah, we could definitely go there.
Okay. We could go, I'd say let's go to Stoughton and let's go to Town Spa, but that's going to take us in the wrong direction.
Yeah, that's going to the right. We need to go to the left.
There is Poopsies along the way?
No, that's farther down in Marshfield.
That's after.
That's afterwards.
Yeah. What about like Quincy? Does Quincy have
Yes, there is. Yes, there's bar pizza.
Brian, that's Quincy, on the way to Hull, right?
Yeah, Quincy,
isn't there
Braintree.
One in Braintree that's like Dakotas or something?
There is a place.
Didn't you stop at one in Braintree for the bar pizza tour? You guys did? Was it Alumni?
Alumni, I think, is Weymouth.
Okay.
No, didn't we the last
we
stop?
We did go to Braintree, though.
Yeah. I feel like the last stop was Braintree. Yeah. I can't remember what that place
was. Let's make that a thing if we can.
Are Lindsay and Bullet coming?
No. It's very difficult with Bullet because sometimes Bullet can come. If Bullet can't come, then we have to find a babysitter.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to find a babysitter. Sometimes
Suzo will do it, but Suzo also has a very busy social schedule totally. And work and things. It's not easy.
So the only reason I asked...
I will be solo dolo on this one.
The only reason I asked is that right nearby where we're going to be, because I don't think I've ever been to the Parrot or Hull, Land's End in Hingham is one of the nicest dog walk hike areas in all of Boston area.
Oh, excellent.
Spectacular.
Well, there's a lot.
Oh, I just said spectacular.
There's a lot to see and do in Hull. There is an old Revolutionary fort that is out there that we can take a look at. So I can't wait to get down there. Cannot wait. Let me get to my lead, though. Did I mention Window World of Boston has 4 showrooms that you can visit? And they can get you a whole house full of new windows for just $99 a month. So check them out at windowworldofboston.com. So yesterday, a spokesperson for the New England Patriots, hello, Stacey James, confirmed to me and to others that the New England Patriots are interested and have approached the NFL about playing a game in Scotland.
All right.
I, for one, am all in on this. I'm all in on making it a road show. I am all in on returning the favor to the Tartan Army and to visiting them in the fall in their beautiful country. Now, there is an issue that exists, which is that they don't have a venue that many believe the NFL would accept. So that could be an issue. But... I mean, there's certainly time to try to make one into an acceptable venue.
They don't have like a national Scottish pitch anywhere, because like if they have a soccer field, they have enough space for a football field. I would think
they have enough space for people. I guess would be the question.
Maybe,
but that's probably it. Maybe. There was one guy I did meet, and he was a Tottenham guy. He was a fan of
Sherbert.
No, he was in Scotland, but he said there was one stadium that's seated like 50,000, one of them Scotland leagues.
I love it. I'm somebody who has been somewhat against the overdoing the European games for the NFL. But in this case, I think it would be awesome to do. And this is Lewis Irons from BBC Scotland, who spoke to Channel 4 yesterday.
This just feels like the natural next progression for this love affair between Boston and the people of Scotland, doesn't it? It's quite incredible to hear this story today, and not entirely surprising. I think it would be a great progression for the Scottish fans' love of America as well. There is a bit of an interest in NFL back in Scotland, but it can only get bigger if it were to come to Scotland.
Yeah, I saw somebody yesterday say we can go over there and drink all of their beer now that they came over and drank all of our beer. Right. So I think it makes a ton of sense. Yeah.
Be pretty hard to do, but we'll try.
Yeah, we'll send our best.
I mean, have you been to a Patriots game at Gillette? Mm-hmm. They can drink a lot of beer. Yeah. Let's not make sure
we send Eamon.
And Mago.
Yes, and Mago.
We're going to need to bring out the heavy hitters for that one.
But I would be all in on that. Also, A-plus, we talked about this briefly at the start of the show, but A-plus troll yesterday by our friends at the Dubliner, which was home base for the Tartan Army. And then the English soccer fans had attempted to make that their home base while they were here. And the Dubliner shut down yesterday. If you're watching the show on Twitch or on YouTube, this is the message that they shared, which was that they were giving their staff the day off so that they could rest. And then they went on to say that, thankfully, there's nothing happening in Boston today, so we will be back tomorrow.
Oh, man.
They all, the Irish, hate the English.
And the Scots.
And the Scots hate the English.
Yes.
And honestly, we don't like them that much either.
Good.
Like, I mean, we had to, basically, we had to start a whole new country because we couldn't stand you people.
Right.
So, the English are pissed because the bars were shut down on Monday night at 10 o'clock around here. So they want to know why they are being treated differently than the Scottish people were treated. So too bad.
Bullocks.
Who cares?
Yeah. By the way, Shime, I like to rip his betting advice.
Yeah.
He got jobbed by Kane yesterday. You had the goal. You said Kane is a goal scorer, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did.
I don't know what the odds were for that. But in the 90th minute, Kane has a wide open net. Like, James could have put it in the back of the net, without a doubt.
And he missed it?
He didn't miss it. He kicked it to the effing moon.
It's like he was kicking a field goal.
Oh, damn.
It wasn't even close.
It was awful.
All right. We are going to return in exactly 2 minutes with They Said It, what Brad Stevens said about Jaylen Brown yesterday.